Imagine your kitchen for a second. You plug a blender, a microwave, an espresso machine, and a toaster into just one single outlet, and then you turn them all on.
Right, yeah. We all know exactly what happens next. The breaker just trips.
Exactly. But imagine doing that in a metal workshop. You know,
yeah.
You add a TIG welder, a variable frequency drive, basically one of those high-powered motor speed controllers, and you keep going until the metal frames of your machines literally start tingling.
Oh, man, yeah. That tingling is like the ultimate red flag. I mean, along with your residual current devices, your RCDs constantly tripping, and backup batteries just screaming about wiring faults.
Totally. Well, welcome to today's deep dive. We've pulled together a stack of IEC standard manuals, some mega testing guidelines, and this really fascinating personal blog from one engineer detailing their journey from honestly pretty dangerous DIY guesswork to mastering professional earthing logic.
It's such a great case study for you to hear because earthing, or grounding, isn't just, you know, hammering a metal rod into the dirt. It's a really intricate logic puzzle.
Right. And our mission for you today is to extract the practical, sometimes life-saving lessons from that journey. Because to stop that dangerous tingling, this author first had to decode this massive alphabet soup of safety jargon.
Oh, the jargon is intense.
It really is. You look online and people are fiercely debating, like, are there four types of earthing systems or five? So I have to ask, is this naming confusion inherently dangerous? Like, is it like using flammable and inflammable interchangeably when your safety's on the line?
It definitely can be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially if you just memorize the letters without grasping the underlying logic. Because the International Electrotechnical Commission, the IEC, actually only classifies three main families, just TN, TT, and IT.
Okay, I'll bite. What do those actually mean? Because just throwing letters around doesn't help me wire up a shop safely.
Fair point.
Yeah.
So the letters actually use French roots. The first letter tells you the power source's relationship to the earth, and the second is your equipment's relationship.
Okay, so it's source, then equipment.
Exactly. So T stands for tear, or earth. N is neutral, and I is isolated. So a TT system means both the power source and your equipment have their own, like, separate metal rods hammered into the tear of the earth.
Got it. But then wait, where do the four or five types come from?
Ah, well, that comes from practical variants, mainly TNS and TNC.
Yeah.
Those extra letters, S and C, they just tell you if the neutral and protective ground wires are separated or combined.
Okay, so armed with that translation, the author realized their first attempt at safety was just totally flawed. They called it a local rod and hope method.
That's terrifying.
Right. They built a TT system, basically pounded a rod into the dirt, and just hoped the RCD, that safety switch that cuts power if electricity leaks, would catch any problems.
And I'm guessing the NUSA's trip started immediately.
Oh, instantly.
Yeah, because they had mixed noisy loads, like that welder, with sensitive electronics on the exact same circuit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a TT system, those safety switches are your primary defense.
Yeah.
If your layout is messy, the whole installation becomes completely unpredictable.
So the fix for them was adopting a TNS philosophy, strictly separating the protective earth wire from the neutral wire. And this instantly cured their drifting panel meters. It actually makes me think about plumbing, you know?
Oh, no, so.
Well, combining your neutral and earth, which is that TNC concept you mentioned, it kind of feels like using the exact same pipe for both your fresh drinking water and your sewage.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that analogy hits the nail on the head. Because the danger of that TNC DIY shortcut is that it relies on a single shared conductor.
Right.
So something breaks upstream, all that electrical sewage, you know, the fault current, it has nowhere to go but straight onto the metal frames of your machines.
Mm.
It creates these severe touch voltage risks.
Yikes. So separating the drinking water from the sewage is step one. But after separating the circuits, our engineer actually had to physically test the system. And this led to a massive reality check. Because, look, if it were me, I'd probably just grab a standardometer, touch it to the ground rod, and assume a low number means I'm perfectly safe.
Which, according to the mega testing guidance we looked at, is practically useless.
Wait, really? Why? I mean, resistance is resistance, right? If the meter says it's near zero, isn't that the whole point of a ground?
Well, not underground, no. A standardometer gets totally fooled by noise currents in the soil or parallel paths like nearby metal pipes. What you actually need is a three-terminal fall of potential test.
Okay, you're going to have to unpack that for me. How does that work?
So you drive auxiliary spikes into the dirt at very specific distances from your main ground rod. The tester sends a known current between the outer spike and your main rod, and then it uses that middle spike to measure the voltage drop.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and by moving that middle spike around and taking multiple readings, you map out the resistance of the soil itself until you find a stable plateau.
So DIYers are basically obsessed with chasing a single good metric on a screen, even when their underlying system design might be totally broken.
Exactly. The author's chart actually showed that a single reading fluctuates wildly just based on how moist the soil is on a given day.
That is wild. They found that properly bonding their circuits together improves stability way more than just blindly chasing a lower ohm number.
Because true earthing is a system behavior. It's not a single component. Robust protection comes from understanding that logic, keeping your circuits separated, and, you know, continuous proper testing.
It really changes how you look at the physical world. Just think about it for a second. If a single home workshop requires this much intricate, hidden logic just to keep a metal frame from shocking you, how many invisible, flawlessly balanced safety systems are silently protecting you in the buildings you walk through every single day? Next time you plug something into the wall, maybe give a little nod to the engineers keeping the electrical sewage out of the fresh water.